Welcome to episode 80 of the Livonia and Sarah podcast. Each week we explore holistic ways to enhance our health and wellness, both body and mind. Join us as we not only strive to improve our well-being, but as we navigate creating a simpler, yet fearless and more meaningful life. I'm Livonia.
And I'm Sarah. And today we're discussing a topic that has reached epidemic proportions, affecting one in two adults: loneliness. Do you struggle with loneliness? We hope you're not as alone as you might feel, but are there things you can do to combat loneliness? And what can society as a whole do to help those who feel so alone? But before we start, let's have a catch up from last week's weekly challenge, which was to write down a moment of happiness each day. Did you find moments of happiness, Livonia?
Oh, good grief. Yeah.
Yeah.
On Tuesday, I was putting together, you know, the notes for this.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, what was the challenge? I was like, oh, crap. I forgot to do that.
Done it.
So then I got my journal out and I wrote the days down. And then I was trying to remember moments of happiness.
Yes.
Something. And I have to say I struggled a little bit.
Right.
Sarah and I were just talking about how our past week's been. But anyway, I did manage a couple of things. Like on the Friday, I didn't have to cook dinner. That makes me very
nice.
Happy.
Yes, that is nice.
That makes me happy.
Yeah.
You know, just because that you know, like we were saying, happiness is in the small moments.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I know. On Monday.
Yeah.
It's been so ungodly hot here. It's like either so hot or so cold that you cannot open a
really
window.
Real extremes.
I had all the windows open on Monday. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That was nice. You know, that's your moment of happiness.
That was my little moment of happiness, especially considering I'd, you know, cooking all day. So just helps to. Yeah. Yeah. But, and, you know, for me, I feel happy after I work out. So,
okay.
Yeah, I'm focusing on that.
You've
That's
got those written down as your
my
happiness moment.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was for the next day. I did that yesterday. Anyway, what about you? Did you do it?
Yes. I wrote down some moments of happiness predominantly around, it was my son's birthday.
Your dogs.
And then my dogs, because they don't talk. Yes, my dogs do bring me happiness, actually. That's very true. Mm-hmm. Regular photography opportunities with them. But it was my son's birthday, so there's lots of moments of happiness around that. But even the preparation, because I was thinking about this, don't you think sometimes the preparation brings you as much happiness as the actual event or the day itself? So I was thinking, like, the day before I was wrapping presents, I was
putting up decorations
up,
yeah, I love
a
to
cake,
do that.
All of those. So they brought me, that brought me many moments of happiness. There was also, I went to the cinema with a friend. We went and watched a movie and that was a really, really nice experience. We went to one of the special cinemas where you get the sofas and the waiters bring things to you when you're sat in
nice.
The theater. Yes. So that was really, really lovely. So yes.
And they recline. Do they recline?
Mine didn't recline, but it's like a full proper sofa. So we were sat together in one sofa with cushions.
Oh, okay.
And you have your little tables and lamps either side. And
oh, nice. Yeah,
it was really,
very
really
civilized.
Nice. It was. So yes, I have had many, many moments of happiness. That's not to say that I felt jolly and happy all week, because I'm not sure.
Nope.
I could quite claim that.
That's a stretch.
Yeah, that is a stretch. But that's the whole point, isn't it? It's the moments that add up rather than it always having to be permanently, like we said last week. So, yeah,
I had to keep reminding myself, you're getting paid for this, Livonia.
Oh, what, you
you're getting
work.
Paid for it. Some of it was a bit soul destroying, I have to say. But then I was like, you know what? The end is in sight and you're getting
money.
Paid for it.
Exactly.
Yes.
Think of the money.
Oh, God. Going from that to just, you know, the happiness episode.
I know. It's to the complete opposite.
To the complete opposite.
Mm-hmm.
Loneliness. And this is just the definition, because I always, you know, I like to start.
Yeah,
sadness.
Let's start with that.
Because one has no friends or company, isolated, feelings of depression and loneliness, Loneliness is the mental or emotional discomfort you may experience from either being alone or feeling as though you are alone. This feeling stems from your social needs not being met and or an inability to get the social connection you desire. So, you know, can be when if your spouse dies or, you know,
that's quite your extreme.
Son goes off to college.
Yes, we're diving that deep. Yeah, all there's sometimes. Yeah. Not even any major life event like that. And people just feel
lonely.
This sense of loneliness. I
mean, right. Because you can feel lonely surrounded by people.
Yeah.
You know, if you have no connection with them or they have completely different way of thinking to you. I learnt a word that I had or a term I'd never heard before, the walk away wife syndrome. Have you ever heard that?
No.
And that's where a woman just goes, okay, I want a divorce, bye, I'm leaving this marriage, because she's been felt so alone in it.
Oh,
and,
wow.
Yeah, and they call it the walk away wife syndrome. I'd not heard of that.
No,
yeah.
I haven't heard that either. Yeah. I think there's some key words in there that actually I pick up on the most. I think the fact that it's an emotional state, that's the biggest thing. So actually it may be a physical situation where you're lonely because you don't have people around you, or you could be in a marriage, a relationship, wherever, but yet you still feel very lonely. So the emotional side of things, the isolation that you feel, that's obviously the biggest trigger. I think the misunderstood thing's really important, isn't it? Like you said, because I think actually sometimes that battle with making yourself heard or trying to feel like you're trying to put your point across all the time can feel such a lonely place to be. So you're like, am I out here all on my own and no one is understanding me? What is it that's going on? And sometimes, and I'm going to talk about some periods in my life where I've experienced these different things, but sometimes I think you can misunderstand or just miss moments of connection that you don't realize that you do have. And they just pass you by. And actually part of the trick of all of this is realizing that you have many, many, many interactions, many moments of connection with people that you may not even realize, but those are the important things. And those, a bit like the happiness situation, are the things that add up. And that's the reason why we're never alone in this world. We're just not. We, you know, unless you quite literally sit in a box and never speak to anybody, then you're not. And so it feels like that, and I'm not saying that it's not true, because that's how you feel and I understand that. However, there are many things that we can look at through this episode of working on to help change that feeling and embrace the things that you do have to make things very different.
And to also help people that may be alone, like not alone, alone and loneliness to me.
It's two different things.
I spend a lot of time alone and, you know, I don't mind that.
Yep.
I'm quite content with my own company.
Yep.
You know, but there is loneliness, and you know, a lot of old people can experience that.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's also about reaching out to people, sense of that community spirit. You know, if you have an elderly neighbor that you know is on their own, perhaps, and they might like that, but you know, I think just to have somebody to chat to every now and then is good. I think as much as people shit on the internet, I think that for some people, it's their line of communication. If people are isolated, or if they're, you know, perhaps wheelchair bound or disabled and find it very difficult to get out of a house, they may not have a car or the means to go somewhere. But, you know, if you know of people like that, they have this socialization through the internet. So, you know.
Yeah,
but
absolutely.
At that same time, that's also creating isolation, apparently, with the 18 to 24 year old groups.
I can give exact examples of that. So, because
yeah.
you know, if we reflect back to when you and I had our our period of that time, we would be out. I mean, I was out all the time. We were going to the
playing
pub,
in the streets.
Having, you know, when we're younger, playing the street, or when you're a bit older, going to the pub, having a drink, going round and having house parties all the time. People's all going out, arranging it. My son's generation, that was scuppered because of lockdowns. And so their formative years around those sorts of times, that couldn't happen. But what did happen is that they forged these really strong connections through distance connections. So through playing Xbox, PlayStation, internet games, through FaceTiming, through chatting, like Snapchat, all of that sort of stuff. And it feels real to them because that's their form of connection. And it's not real. I'm not trying to take that away, because actually it is. But what it did do was destroy the face-to-face contact. And there's something to be said about that, about actually getting out and being in each other's company. I personally believe it's the same within the workplace. Now, I work on my own, and lots of people work remotely. However, there is something to be said of being in an office where you can bounce ideas off each other, you can share your evening, you can share your worries about what the work you're doing. You know, there can be social interaction, there can be work interaction. So there's pros and cons to everything. I do appreciate that. But I think that I think that, you know, the underlying issue here is the actual physical contact, or the being in the same room as someone else. That's what really makes a difference. But take you and I, for example. We provide each other support. We're in chatting all the time about our everyday, about something that we see, inspiration, negative, positive, the whole thing. We are hundreds and thousands of miles apart. So
it
doesn't mean you actually have to be around each other's doorsteps all the time. But what you do have to do is the action of checking in with people. So I have friends all over. I have some that live...
Excuse me.
Was that a cough or a sneeze?
That was a cough.
Okay, I was just checking if I needed to bless you or not. In which case, consider yourself unblessed.
Unblessed.
Yeah, so I think I do have friends that are close by. I have family that are close by, but I have people further away too. And I class those people as equal friends. You know, I don't have this sort of like, they're closer, a better friend to me. That's just not true at all. So I think it's mindset, isn't it? Don't you think, about how we decide what sort of lifestyle we have? And when you're feeling low or you're feeling lonely, it can be really easy to then think, well, that's it, I'm on my own, I don't have anybody, no one cares. You know, it goes in that sort of spiral. Are you laughing?
No, I'm laughing because of what you said about how you said it was sad, what I had put in the notes.
I know, you got me in tears.
Around me. I said, this is what I said, Sarah. I said, honestly, I'm a bit scared of getting old and being lonely, because my family and friends are scattered around the world. Half of them in England, half in Australia. And so I think, what if I'm here living in the US alone, stuck in some piss-smelling institution or home, you know, with no visitors, horrible staff that just, you know, leave you sit in your own shit or something.
Yeah.
And then no one to mourn me when I die. And I was going to say, this is what happens when you don't have any kids. But there are parents out there who have kids who stick them in a home and never go and visit them, or just don't go and visit them, never call, you know, to check in to see how they want, how they are. And there's just days stretching before them with no one to talk to. And I thought, God, how depressing is that?
That is quite depressing. I'm not going to try and wrap
it. It is quite depressing.
I'm like, you know, but
like you were saying, it's an emotion, but it also, loneliness has, it creates physical problems. So some more cheering.
Here we go. Hit me with it.
It can raise cortisol levels, which is that fight and flight.
The stress. Yep.
Stress. Yeah. And over time, these high cortisone levels can lead to high blood pressure, excess weight gain, muscle weakness, problems concentrating, and more things, right? But people that have that score on like a high level of loneliness have high levels of, there's two proteins, and I won't bore everyone with them. And they're two of the hallmarks of Alzheimer's disease. So they show them in their brain before they start showing signs of cognitive decline.
Okay.
So, you know, there is something to be said for, I don't know, community spirit and rallying around. Like, you know, how this whole episode came to be was, like you were saying, it takes a village.
It does, yeah.
And, you know, people, if you're out and about, that's good because you can have contact with people. You know, you might think, oh God, I'm so lonely, I have no friends nearby. But then you know, you go and get your hair done, you chat to your,
and this is what I was saying to you, it's like you have many interactions that you don't even realize are actually part of who you are. And so you could regularly get a coffee every day at the same place and you see the same server and they say morning, and they know how you take your coffee. They know you because they know how you take your coffee. And you might have mentioned that you were going out on a date last night, or you might have mentioned it was your son's birthday, or that you had a big job interview, you know, all these things. And you know what? The next day go, yeah, how did that interview go? Because they have an interest in your life, okay? And it might be that they actually, that's as far as the interest goes,
or they're just good at their job,
or they're good at their job, but who bloody cares? Because what it is creating an interaction. Same goes in reverse, they might mention something to you. Now we're all mega busy, and I think this is part of the problem. We're so on the go all the time. I'm guilty of this. I have one family member that I'm thinking about, an elderly family member, and I don't contact her anywhere near enough. I should contact her more and check in with her. She's on her own. My uncle died a few years back. She's really not happy at all, and I don't check on her enough. But what happens is, because another day just has gone by and I'm like, shit, I haven't called her again. And then you think, right, tomorrow I must do that. And do you know what? Life just like this, because we've all got so much going on. However, you have to do it, because you will feel really, really shit if you don't one day, if you think, I wish I'd done that. And that's the thing that I always then do remember going. And that's why I do go the extra mile of checking in with friends. If they're going through something horrible, I try to be on the regular point of contact, just so that someone feels, because I've been there, right? I've been on the other end of this, and I have felt incredibly lonely in two different versions of my life. Once in a, well, not once, but in one scenario, when I got divorced, my son was not at home for half of the time because he went to stay with his dad. And you're dealing with a huge life situation like divorce.
Massive change.
And then you're like, and now I don't have my son at home for half of the time. Now that was broken up because it wasn't like big chunks, but it doesn't matter. And then you're there, you go, wow, I am really lonely. And do you know what happens? You don't always make the best life choices when you feel like that, because you dash out and you think, I'm going to fill the void of not feeling like this with X, Y, whether it's drink, dating,
excessive spending, shopping,
gambling, whatever. You eating, fill that void, and you don't make the best of decisions when you're in that mindset. I've also been in the scenario where I've been in a relationship and felt so lonely and so low that I actually didn't know what I was going to do. I just thought, I don't know what I'm going to do, because I felt utterly, utterly desolate about everything. But yeah, technically, to the outside world, I was in a relationship and everything was looking
hunky-dory.
And so I can speak from experience of feeling, and I really utter lowness about this, you know, of feeling lonely and feeling despair and thinking there isn't much point, because actually I can't see a way out of this, you know, all of that sort of stuff. Every single time I have encountered those feelings, which do feel like they overwhelm you. And then the other thing I would flag about that is the fact that when you're feeling like that, any other little moment or challenge or something that comes in can feel so overwhelming, because you're already dealing with this situation where you're feeling so low or vulnerable as it is. It can then really knock you. But the way out of this is literally to forge new connections. And my point of view is you have to take accountability. So there is no one else, like we've said before, that's going to come and save you. Yes, we can all individually do something to make some connection with people. But do you know what I've experienced at the other end? Some people go, yeah, I'm not interested in talking. So my grandmother, I never speak to anyone. I never see anyone. This was years ago. I'm all on my own. Life's lonely. Life's horrible. She literally lived in a little cul-de-sac with four other bungalows around her. Each of those people were all in the same scenario. Okay, they're all on their own. They're all in the bungalows. Why do you not all just get together
Have dinner
and
once a week or something all together.
have a coffee? Have a coffee
Yeah,
hour. 11
something.
o'clock, everyone pops in for coffee, and by 12, they're gone again. You don't have to live in each other's pockets, but you
Right.
can make. And so I think,
That's that can't be bothered thing. I bet that's
and
a lot
also,
of
it's almost
that.
like reveling in the complaining. You know, and
Being
we've
the
talked about
victim.
the sort of
Yeah.
the victim and the negativity. So I believe there's a role to play for taking your own accountability in this. And we can run through some suggestions. I don't know if you've got some suggestions of how you can create some of these connections, but it starts
Right.
with you, not someone else coming to make this for you. That's my belief anyway.
Right, unless you're old and stuck in a home and
You've got a
no one comes
telephone.
to visit.
You've got a
I
telephone.
guess.
If you're in a
Yeah,
home,
that's true.
there's always a community room that you can go down and sit and play cards or talk or play Scrabble
Right,
or whatever.
right.
So,
If you can get out
oh my God, we're really going down here.
bed.
I'm trying
So
to think.
this is a loneliness that I think many people wouldn't consider. Because if they've always lived in their own country, is cultural loneliness. And I've experienced this, you know, from living in three different countries to of not being my own. Like when I moved to Canada, granted, I was working for a publisher and I had a lot of people around me, but I lived like out in the just nowhere near anybody. It was a resort for during the summer, but it was a frozen lake. But winter, and I mean, beautiful, but the temperatures would get down to, you know, minus 40, minus 50 for long periods of time. So, you know, a lot of isolation there. But I think not being able to speak the language and living in a different country, you must feel, oh God, that must be so hard. And then, you know, what you can do is maybe go and learn it, learn English, you know, if it is English or French or wherever it is that you know that you're living. But I think cultural loneliness is something, and you know, you see, I think it was Grenfell disaster that
The
in
tower.
England, where they the women all came together and started cooking together. And you know, that's something too. I think that that's such an amazing way to connect with people, is that is starting something. Like if there isn't something, try and
Make it.
start it and try and make it. There are some groups here that like Australians in Indiana and Australians in the US. And you know, I've connected with them on Facebook, and I think every now and then they try and have, you know, something, especially Australia Day. But I've never gone to one, purely because, like you were saying, you know, you're either too busy or you just make an excuse not to, or whatever. But then I don't complain that I'm lonely. So, you know, but I think
No, but you do
sometimes,
have these fears about your
oh
future. And so you may
none
not
of them are
complain
going to
now.
come to my aid when I'm old and
How do
sitting in a
you know? You
home.
could make like a brand new best friend. Oh no, look at the you're so negative.
But
Tell you off.
I'm not
No,
usually, but
a
it
bit
just
on this
is.
situation. Yeah, it's brought out.
So I tried to when I lived in Florida. So we moved to Florida. I knew nobody in Florida, and through those groups, actually, I did meet a couple of Aussie girls who I'm still in contact with. And one of them lost her husband. She's married to an American. You know, I went to his funeral. So you know, there was that contact there. But before I met them, it was just like, God, you know, so isolated because I work for myself. So, you know, Lawrence would go off to work and there I was stuck at home. excuse me. So what I did, I thought, I know, I'll volunteer to go and read to old people because I love old people. And so, well, hang on a minute.
Not
So
cool.
Florida is full of a lot of old people. And I thought, what a perfect thing to do. I'll just visit them in, you know, whatever institution or maybe in their homes even. And you know, that would be great, but it was met with such suspicion and what qualifications did I have? And I'm like, well, the fact that I can read.
Read.
There we go. That's all I wanted to do, was just read to them or talk to them or, you know, maybe take them out for a coffee. I don't know. I imagine that probably would garner, you know, people having to look into your background. Not a problem. But I didn't have the, I was told I didn't have the credentials. I'm like, okay, apparently being kind wasn't enough. I was like, I just thought going and reading to them would be nice. You know, sometimes they've lost their eyesight or whatever, and just having a friendly voice, knowing company that somebody's going to turn up and read them whatever book it was that they wanted to listen to. But no, no. And that I, you know, and I worry about that. I worry about old people being lonely and animals. Like if I see a horse in a field and it's by itself, because, you know, animals like horses, dogs and stuff, they're social creatures.
Company, yeah.
And I think, no, this horse is meant to have a friend, and I want to just rescue them all and bring them here to my house. So old people and animals, And that I find it really affects
Maybe that's
me.
Your future then. Maybe you'll just be surrounded by animals as you get older.
Yeah, why not? That wouldn't be so bad. I often say I like them better than people.
Why not?
Oh God.
But I think, but if you are looking to find somewhere to join and create connections, there's groups, isn't there? So if you've got hobbies or interests, you can look down that route. So art groups, knitting, crochet, gardening, food, cookery classes, that's another way of doing it. So join up some classes and then you'll probably meet like-minded people that way.
Right.
There's often, I don't know about in the States, but over here there's often free events that happen in places like libraries and stuff like that. So you can then go and there'll be people that you can meet. Coffee mornings, WI for women of a certain age group over here. You know, I think
if WI, what's that?
Women's Institute. Look it up. It's hilarious. Back in the old days, it used to be quite the thing. But now I think it's got a lot more modern sort of face to it. Yeah, it's really sweet. I don't know what age it was before you could join it. I don't know if they've lifted the age limit on it now either. But anyway, there's loads of different things. But I think what it takes is for you to go and look for them. They're not going to suddenly arrive on your doorstep without you looking. So try and find some of these things. And then also the one thing I thought about was... Hi, Ramsey. One thing I thought about was social media with regards to that's how you and I met. You know, if you're if you're on Instagram, for example, and you're following a group or a person of someone you've got an interest in, then you can then start chatting and, you know, you forge relationships that way. So I think all of this, though, requires you to put some action in. So there's two sides of this.
Also, a gym. That's a good place if people can afford it. Sometimes people can't afford these things. Having a pet is a big thing. Rescuing animals.
I wrote that down, because they're really good company, aren't they? Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, offering to take a neighbour out or taking, you know, or taking them a meal or something. Having a chat to people. I think people are always in a hurry and doing, even if you're lonely.
I wrote that down. Talk to people. Don't be a closed book either, because always people can't forge those connections with you.
And don't you think that, I think, you know, I mean, I know that there's a lot more now, there's more talk about, you know, mental illness, depression, but I think it'd be really hard for people to say, I feel very lonely. I know after, you know, coming back here, after losing both my parents in 2022, coming back here to a place where nobody knew them and there was nothing around to remind me of them, maybe people might think that's a good thing, but I just, there were days where I was just like, you know, all you can do is cry. And I thought, I know a lot of people here, but I don't feel like there was anybody that I could have called and said, can I, you know, do you mind if I come over for half an hour or something? And I think that strikes a chord, you know, when you're someone that moves around, perhaps in the military, and you move around a lot. And, you know, you're always saying goodbye to people, so you
don't
make deep friendships. And people will say, oh, yes, you could, like the people that I know, you could come here. But no, either you live miles away or no, you don't feel that, you know. Like you don't have that connection. Like if I lived there, I know that I could do that with you. but mm-hmm. I don't have
absolutely
that same sort of connection here with anybody. No. And that's not me being negative. It's just
it's just the way it is.
A fact. It's just a fact. Yeah. Yeah.
Also, I would urge people, if they are feeling isolated, just go out, take a walk into, you don't have to cost a lot of money, buy a simple coffee, you know, not like having to be a big meal or anything, but buy yourself a coffee and sit in the coffee shop and maybe just read a book for half an hour, even though you may not be talking to
people. Go to a park.
Go to the park. Just have people around you, because having people around you, again, it just makes a real difference to your mindset and your day. And I think that in itself, those four walls can feel like they're closing in on you, can't they? Sometimes if you're just sat and you never leave your home, sometimes that can be the worst thing that can happen, even though you don't feel like going out.
Right.
Get yourself out there.
Get yourself sassied up a bit.
Yeah.
I met a man in Sydney. We were waiting to board the plane, and an elderly man who had lost his wife, and he was from England, but he was going to visit a friend in Canada on the way back to England. And we were chatting, and he loved food, loved to cook. And he and his wife always sat down and had lunch together. Well, after she died, he continued this on, and he always made himself a nice lunch every day. He said sometimes it was a bit more simpler than others. Other times it might be a roast, had a glass of wine with it, set the table nice. He was quite posh, but that's, you know, whatever. And he made that like a little celebration every day.
Nice.
And I thought, oh, I just loved it. I loved hearing that. And I find sometimes I hear people say a lot, oh, I don't like to cook for myself. And I think, shit, I love doing that. I like to cook for myself. I like to, you know, maybe light a couple of candles, especially in winter.
Yeah.
And even if you're sitting in front of the telly watching, you know, your favorite show or whatever, I like doing that.
Yeah.
And I think that sometimes just treat yourself. That's a way of treating yourself or being kind to yourself.
That's the other thing. You don't have to have people around you all the time. So when we talked about the beginning of this, being comfortable in your own company is something really important as well. So get to know who you are, get to know yourself, get to know what you like, and then treat yourself to whatever that is sometimes. And try to move away from this framed mindset of going, I'm on my own, everything's shit, oh my gosh. Yes, there is an element of that, and there's no denying it, but also there's some really good bits as well, so embrace those a bit more.
And if people can, if they're able, like exercising, some form of exercise, like you were saying, going for a walk, but looking after yourself is a big thing, I think, when you're in feeling isolated and lonely.
Yeah.
There's four types of loneliness: emotional, chronic, social, and situational.
Okay.
And this is another thing too. Yeah, in the Western world, it's all about retiring, unless you're a farmer and you can't retire, right? But there are some places now where you see they hire these are big companies here. They hire disabled people. They hire the elderly, even just as a greeter. At least, you know, that they get to see people. If you're able-bodied, and even if you don't need the money, you know, maybe doing something like that too gives you some sort of interaction with people, you know, if you're able to do that.
Yep, definitely.
Okay.
Say yes to opportunities.
Opportunities. Oh, okay. So apart from like joining a swingers club, I had that one.
Oh, you made me laugh. So Livoni and I prepare, obviously, for these episodes, and then Livoni sends over notes from what we've discussed. And on her note for the challenge, she suggested join a swingers club, everybody. In her notes that she sent over, I went from tears, crying at the fact that you found out you were going to be in a pissy home with no one to visit you.
Yeah, lonely.
Through to joining a swingers
club. Joining a swingers club.
Combat that.
I did put a question mark after it.
Oh, good. That's all right then.
More a question, really, than a statement.
I thought it was more like an invite.
Right. But don't you have to have another part? Don't you have to? You have to have a partner to do that, though. So if you're on your own, I don't know if you could do that, really. Yeah.
So anyway, you know,
what's our quick challenge for the week?
So the challenge, I think, would be for yourself to create one new interaction this week. If you're feeling lonely or even have a sense of that might be happening, just create an interaction, whether that's joining a group, going out to the coffee shop, having a conversation with someone that you still see every day, but you didn't think about it. So that's part one of the challenge. And the other part is to reach out to someone that you think might be struggling with loneliness. So it's a two-parter this week. One, create a new interaction for yourself, and the other one to reach out to someone who may be struggling.
Got those written down. I'm going to do them. I already know that I'm doing the first one.
Yeah.
Next week, we are looking back over season 5. What were our favourite episodes and why they were our favourite episodes. So I'm actually looking forward to that because I already know without even looking which were my favourites.
Oh, do you? Ooh.
Yeah. Thanks for tuning in today. Be sure to check out our website for new posts each week as we dive deeper into each episode. Find links to our Instagram and YouTube channel in the show notes below. Don't forget to follow and subscribe so you never miss an episode. We truly appreciate your support and you being here. Until next week, bye for now.